From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
It's 81 degrees in Lawrence, 77 in Emporia. It's 6:06. All things considered. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines. We will learn more about the legal battle between a tracking app and a smartwatch maker. And then we are going to meet our KPR Community Spotlight Organization of the Month. They resettle refugees. It's an organization right here in Lawrence.
Our goal is that when the family arrives, food is there, pantry is full, and so all they have to do is really just settle and learn how to be here.
Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees. We call them AIR. Stay with us.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight's on Assistication. Information at AIRefugeesLawrence.org.
Okay, you know those AIR pretty much at random, and that was a little embarrassing. But anyway, we'll talk about them as much as we can because we love our Community Spotlight organization. Stay tuned for the full story about AIR.
Support for KPR comes from the Willow Domestic Violence Center's Bijou. An evening of roaring 20s Ritz, jazz, and a live auction, all in support of the Willow. October 16th, 6 p.m. at Maselli's. Tickets at willowdvcenter.org.
Lows in the lower 60s tonight. Tomorrow, 40% chance of showers and storms with a high in the mid-80s. 70% chance of showers and storms tomorrow night with lows in the upper 50s. It's 81 degrees in Lawrence. It's 620.
On Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9. We'll get you the latest national, international, and regional news. Jay Schaefer will have the local duties. Again, that's 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow. Join us for Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, devoted to improving the lives of Kansans, Americans, and people everywhere through discoveries in health, technology, the environment, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
It's 80 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 6:30.
It's what they describe as authoritarian ambitions linked to President Donald Trump. For NPR News, I'm Lucio Vasquez in Houston.
You're listening to NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has responded after Politico exposed racist chat messages from leaders of the state Young Republicans group. Zane Irwin has more.
Kelly says she appreciates the party's condemnation of the Kansas Young Republicans organization, but she volleyed fresh criticism at posts the state Republican Party made on Facebook earlier this month. One post shows an edited photo of Kelly with a sombrero and mustache. The caption accuses Kelly of giving federal food assistance to immigrants who lack full legal status in the U.S. A spokesperson for the Kansas GOP responded by pointing to offensive comments that a Democratic candidate made in another state in 2022. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
Another Kansas Democratic candidate is challenging Republican U.S. Senator Roger Marshall. Sandy Spidell Newman of Johnson County joins three other Democratic candidates in the race. Her background is in business and economics. She spent decades as a financial services executive. Spidell Newman said in a campaign announcement that Marshall's support for tariffs and health care cuts are hurting Kansans.
Meanwhile, families choose between gas and groceries. Hospitals disappear. Farmers struggle to survive.
The other Democratic candidates are Christy Davis, a former official in the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Ann Perelker, a former immigration attorney, and Michael Sudert, who also ran in 2022. Lawrence city officials have given permission for a new mural to be placed on a city garage and are taking applications from artists to complete the project. KCTV reports that the artist or artist team selected will create a large-scale mural on the ground level of the west-facing wall of the Vermont Street parking garage next to the Lawrence Public Library. The budget for the mural project is $5,500. Lawrence-based artists, individuals, or teams are eligible to enter and must be 18 years old or older. City officials said up to three finalists will be chosen by a review committee and will receive a $300 stipend to develop a conceptual proposal. That application form can be found in the public arts section of the city website or visit the KPR website. Go to KPR headlines. You'll find a clickable link there. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR comes
and allows us to push our limits and foster community. It does sometimes create a source of stress out of something that used to be a wonderful pastime.
Matt Evans of the site Tech Radar, thank you. Happy trails.
Mary Louise, thank you for having me.
This is NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News on KPR. I'm Laura Lorson. All right, I want you to imagine leaving your home, moving to a new country, and starting all over again, learning new language, a new monetary system, new laws, new customs, cuisines. A nonprofit organization in Lawrence is dedicated to helping newcomers adjust. Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees, or AIR, is in this month's KPR Community Spotlight. KPR's Jay Schaefer spoke with AIR's president, Chuck Olchesi, to find out how his organization is helping new arrivals.
We start from picking them up at the airport, Venezuela. We have two families from Afghanistan and one from Venezuela that we're working with now.
What is the biggest thing you would like people to know about assistance for immigrants and refugees?
We're a group of people that are just really passionate about serving refugees, people who have gone through a significant trauma and cannot return to their homes.
We've been listening to Chuck Olchesi, the president of AIR, Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees in Lawrence. He spoke with KPR's Jay Schaefer. You can learn more about AIR on the KPR website. Just look for the KPR Community Spotlight at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute. Visiting fellow Jerry Seib moderates the midterm elections 1 year out, featuring Amy Walter, editor of the Cook Political Report, October 30th, 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies too, and always online streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Community Orchestra, presenting Spooky Carnival, featuring seasonal fun and music, Sunday, October 19th, 2:30 p.m. at Lawrence High School. Information and tickets at lawrenceorchestra.org.
Stay with us. A little more All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR 1 stations, up next is Classics Live. If you're joining us on KPR 2 at 7 o'clock, we have KPR Presents. It's 80 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Workday. Workday is an AI platform for forward thinkers dedicated to transforming the way business leaders manage people, money, and agents today so they can transform tomorrow. Workday, moving business forever forward. From Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on safe driving habits at progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. From the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at lodestarfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
What happens if the United States sends Ukraine long-range missiles that can fire far into Russia? On the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. here on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from KJHK and their 50th birthday celebration featuring American jazz-influenced indie rock musician May Simonis at the Granada, October 16th. Doors open 7 p.m., show at 8 p.m. Tickets at Granada.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Panda Pediatrics, providing pediatric primary care, mental health, dental, and a walk-in clinic for children from birth to age 21 at 1 Lawrence location. More information at pandapeds.com.
Stay tuned. Up next, we have Classics Live, followed by an hour of classical music with Destiny. It's Thursday, so it's Tango Thursday. Don't want to miss that. It's all followed by Jazz in the Night, featuring music from the Vinyl Vault tonight. Stay tuned. Partly cloudy skies this evening and into tonight with a low in the lower 60s. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a 40% chance of showers and storms. Highs tomorrow in the mid-80s. It's 7:01.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown with you here in the audience of the Polsky Theater in the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College. This is a special recital with cellist Ed Lout. Ed Lout started teaching cello at KU in 1977. Here he is with pianist Su Jin Jin. We'll hear the Debussy Sonata and the Frank Bridge Sonata in D minor, but first, it's three of the fantasy pieces by Robert Schumann, Opus 73.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Frank Bridges' cello sonata. In two movements, it reflects the composer's despair over World War I with increasing dissonance towards the end. Handled wonderfully by cellist Edward Laut and pianist Soo Jin Jin. Before that, we heard the Claude Debussy Sonata for Cello and Piano before they started the concert with three of Robert Schumann's fantasy pieces from Opus 73. Cellist Ed Laut had a long concert career before joining KU's music faculty in 1977. He's still listed on the KU Music Department's website as a professor emeritus of cello. Pianist Soo Jin Jin has played as a soloist in Korea, Germany, the Czech Republic, and Italy. She earned her doctorate in piano from KU, and currently she's the artistic director and faculty member of the Piano Academy of Kansas City. Thank you for being part of the audience in this Ruel Joyce Doreen Marande recital held at Johnson County Community College. KPR sound engineer Tobias Smith recorded the concert for Classics Live, and I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. from the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival in Topeka. That was a KPR recording of Haydn's Second Symphony, directed by Alex Klein. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. And support for Classics Live comes from the KU School of Music presenting Dark Side of Oz, with jazz students blending the music of Pink Floyd alongside reimagined images from The Wizard of Oz at Liberty Hall Wednesday, October 29th. Tickets at libertyhall.net. And from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting the annual Tribute to Veterans Gala on Sunday, November 9th, open to the public. Reservations required. Details and registration at doleinstitute.org. And from the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College, presenting the Vienna Boys Choir October 25th, sharing music across the globe for six centuries. Details at jccc.edu/mtc. This has been Classics Live on Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Justice Department has charged former National Security Advisor John Bolton for allegedly mishandling classified documents. Bolton worked in Trump's first administration, but later became one of his fiercest critics. Bolton is the latest example of the Justice Department targeting Trump's perceived political enemies. Venezuela is asking the UN Security Council to weigh in on the deadly U.S. strikes on alleged drug boats in the Caribbean. As NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports, President Trump is defending the strikes.
Venezuela's ambassador to the UN, Samuel Moncada, says so far 27 people have been killed in strikes on what he calls civilian vessels in international waters. He says they included not only Venezuelans, but also citizens of Colombia and Trinidad.
There is a killer prowling the Caribbean, bloodthirsty, looking for wars, and there is no justification at all. They are fabricating a war.
But while he's calling the Security Council to investigate, the U.S. has veto power, and the Trump administration is vowing to continue the strikes, which it says are part of a counter-drug campaign. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Labor unions are suing the Trump administration for surveilling immigrants' social media accounts. NPR's Shannon Bond reports.
The Trump administration has said it's using AI to help monitor the social media accounts of people legally in the U.S. and use what it finds to revoke visas of those it deems to hold, quote, hostile attitudes. The lawsuit argues that's a violation of the constitutional right to free speech. It says, quote, the government is using the threat of immigration enforcement to suppress dissent. The suit was filed in federal court in New York by three unions that say many of their members have already begun censoring themselves out of fear. At least 55 million people have U.S. visas and could be subject to heightened surveillance. Shannon Bond, NPR News.
President Trump says if Hamas continues attacks in Gaza, quote, we will have no choice but to go in and kill them. But he also insists U.S. troops won't be involved, as NPR's Deepa Shivram reports.
Peace negotiations between Israel and Hamas are still delicate as Hamas continues to return bodies of hostages. Part of the ceasefire deal brokered by Trump is that Hamas would have to disarm, but that hasn't yet happened. And in recent days, Hamas has been in conflict with gangs in Gaza. At the same time, Israel has said it has fired on militants trying to cross out of the ceasefire zone. In the Oval Office, Trump said if Hamas doesn't behave, quote, we'll take care of it.
It's not going to be us. We won't have to. There are people very close, very nearby that will go in. They'll do the trick very easily, but under our auspices.
It's not clear who Trump meant. Administration officials have said U.S. troops based in the region are not intended to go into Gaza. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, The White House.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 16th. Chi Persei doesn't look all that imposing. The star shines at fourth magnitude, so it's visible under dark skies, but not from cities and towns. But that's only because it's a long way off, about 1,200 light years. In reality, it's one of the most impressive stars visible to the human eye. Perseus climbs the eastern sky on autumn evenings. It consists of a couple of ribbons of stars that join at Mirfak, the constellation's leading light. And it contains the most famous variable star in the sky, Algol, the demon star, which fades and brightens every 3 days. Yet neither can compare with Chi Persei, which is near the bottom of the longer ribbon. At visible wavelengths, it's about 13,000 times brighter than the sun, but it's tens of thousands of degrees hotter than the sun, so it emits most of its light in the ultraviolet. When you add that in, Chi Persei is a quarter of a million times the sun's brightness. The key to that showiness is the star's mass, roughly 30 times the sun's mass. At that great heft, gravity squeezes its core tightly, revving up its nuclear engine. Energy works its way to the surface, making Chi Persei hot and bright. Before long, it'll get even hotter and brighter. It'll explode as a supernova, briefly shining brighter than billions of normal stars. A brilliant demise for an impressive star. Chi Persei energizes a nearby cloud of gas, and we'll have more about that tomorrow. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Happy Tango Thursday here on KPR, brought to you by the London Brass playing the Carmen Habanera. Oh, I love that music by Bizet. Great. Hi there. I'm Destiny, and I've got some tango music this hour, a tango suite towards the end of the hour, but I wanted to feature a suite today that actually premiered on this day in 1938, Aaron Copland's Billy the Kid, the ballet suite. I know. The music is super fun, and well, I like to try and make classical music fun for you. And by the way, if you know of any fun classical music that you'd like to share with me, can you please do so at kansaspublicradio.org/classics by request. Help me program my Saturday shows from 1 to 4. And also, save the date, Friday, October 24th, yours truly, playing the violin, Lawrence Public Library, 7 p.m. All right, let's get to the music. Aaron Copland's Billy the Kid Ballet Suite right now with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra and David Zinman conducting. Enjoy it on KPR.
Thank you.
Billy the Kid Suite. Yeah! Aaron Copeland here on KPR, 91.5 Lawrence, 90.3 Chanute. David Zinman with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. Great music. Premiered on this day in 1938. Who knew? Who knew that you could hear me play the violin live and in person Friday night, October 24th? Join us for a free concert at the Lawrence Public Library of Spooky Tunes. And if you want to drive your car there and donate it to us while you're at it, we'll pick it up, but then you'll have to find a way to get home. Trying to combine several tidbits of news for you into one short block before we listen to some more tango. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Theater Lawrence presenting Rocky Horror, picture show, showing October 23rd through the 25th. Details at theaterlawrence.com. There is a lot coming up. Indeed, there is. And there is a lot of tango coming up by Piazzolla. This is Duo Capriccioso. It's about 15 minutes. Happy listening on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy Tango Thursday, friends of KPR. Piazzolla's Tango Suite with Duo Capriccioso. I'm Destiny. Thank you so very, very much for being here with me this week. I would love to hear from you to help me program Saturday's show. Just go to the website and find our show, Classics by Request. I hope you all have a really great Friday and keep on listening to Kansas Public Radio because we've got some great jazz music coming up. See you soon.
You know that Morning Edition keeps you up to date on the news, but did you know it might help you find a new hobby?
People go beachcombing for lots of different things. Shells, rocks, driftwood. We're after sea glass.
We also bring you stories that make you smile.
It's really cool to be in an environment where there's only girls and jazz.
Join us weekday mornings for the news and a little something unexpected on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH, KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. And support for classical music on KPR comes from Love Garden Sounds, a vinyl record and CD store sponsoring the Vinyl Vault Hour on Jazz in the Night. Store details and buying policies at lovegardensounds.com. And KJHK, celebrating their 50th birthday with a local music festival in Lawrence. Lawrence bands from across the decades will perform at 7 venues tomorrow and Saturday. Tickets at granada.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A judge says federal immigration officers in Chicago will be required to wear body cameras after tear gas was used against peaceful protesters and reports of a high-speed chase through a residential area. Federal Judge Sarah Ellis says she was, quote, a little startled after seeing TV images of clashes between agents and the public during the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. A lawyer for the government says news media reports have been one-sided. For the 10th time, Senate Democrats voted down a stopgap spending bill that would reopen the government. Democrats are demanding that Congress extend health care subsidies set to expire at the end of the year. Senate Republicans also held a vote that would have paved the way to paying salaries for troops. Senate Majority Leader John Thune criticized Democrats for voting it down.
If we can't reopen the entire government, we can at least make some progress toward securing paychecks for our troops and for defending our country.
The bill would have required approval by the House, which has been out of session during the shutdown. The government shutdown is causing serious problems for farmers. As Frank Morris of member station KCUR reports, farmers have lost government subsidies and a promised farm bailout has stalled.
Federal farm subsidies go through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's closed, and now is a bad time for farmers to lose that lifeline. The prices farmers are getting for the corn, wheat, and soybeans they grow don't come close to covering the cost of producing them. Tariffs have a lot to do with that, and President Trump has promised farmers a bailout to partially compensate for their trade war losses. But Pat Westhoff, an economist at the University of Missouri, says that's not happening anytime soon.
Now, things aren't going to go forward until the government's open again, it appears to me.
Farmers can't expect immediate help when the government does reopen. The USDA has lost about 20,000 employees this year, and every day the shutdown drags on, more work backs up. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.
Starting in January, Californians with diabetes will be able to buy low-cost insulin directly from the state's own drug label. April Demboski of member station KQED has more.
The state will sell 5 packs of insulin pens for $55. That's a dramatic discount from current market prices, which can top $400. Governor Gavin Newsom says California is saving money by bypassing Big Pharma and its middlemen.
And they have been gouging you for years and years and years.
Actor Nikita Kalam Harris has type 1 diabetes. She says cheaper insulin means people won't have to ration their supplies.
Think of the mother who is deciding whether she is going to pay for groceries or her insulin.
Next up, CalRx wants to tackle vaccines, asthma inhalers, and GLP-1s for weight loss. For NPR News, I'm April Demboski in San Francisco.
Stocks closed down today. This is NPR News from Washington. President Trump says he'll meet with Russia's Vladimir Putin in Hungary to discuss ending the war in Ukraine. Trump said on social media that he and Putin made progress during a phone call today. Trump's also considering selling long-range Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine. He'll meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky tomorrow at the White House. France's prime minister survived two votes of no confidence today, keeping his fragile government in place for now. As NPR's Rebecca Rossman reports from Paris, the challenge now shifts to passing a contentious budget.
France's National Assembly rejected two no-confidence motions, one from the far-left France Unbowed party and another from the far-right National Rally. The first fell short by just 18 votes. The second by a much wider margin. The outcome spares President Emmanuel Macron from having to call risky snap elections, but it leaves Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu on shaky ground. To win enough support, Lecornu said he would suspend the deeply unpopular pension reform that raised France's retirement age from 62 to 64. But Parliament remains bitterly divided, meaning he's likely to struggle to push through a 2026 budget by a December deadline. Rebecca Rossman, NPR News, Paris.
A German museum has been overrun by Taylor Swift fans, drawn to a painting that resembles the opening scene of Swift's hit video, The Fate of Ophelia. The Art Nouveau painting by Friedrich Heiser features Ophelia, a character from Shakespeare's Hamlet. A spokesperson for the museum says they're planning a special tour for fans. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Imaginable Futures, funding programs in the U.S. with the goal of ensuring young children and their parents get the education they need to thrive. Learn more at ImaginableFutures.com. This is NPR.
Saxophone to Sir Shaloff on Kansas Public Radio's Jazz of the Night, the 1956 album Blue Sir, here on our Vinyl Vault Hour, with the Philly Joe Jones on drums, the Roy Vinegar bass, Sonny Clark as the pianist. The tune, The Goof and I, written by Al Cohn. Al Cohn and Sir Shaloff were part of the Woody Herman so-called Four Brothers Band in 1947 and 48, and we opened tonight's Jazz in the Night with the LP collection Keeper of the Flame, Woody Herman and his big band, and Lemon Drop, a George Wallington tune arranged by Shorty Rogers for the band, featuring the little scat vocalizing of Terry Gibbs and Woody Herman and Chubby Jackson, and featuring Sir Shaloff on tenor sax, Earl Swope on trombone, Red Rodney on trumpet, Terry Gibbs on vibes, Woody Herman at the clarinet, on the clarinet, here for you on Kansas Public Radio with music from the great composer Tad Dameron, one of his rare dates as a leader. That's up next, the Cannonball Alley Sextet live in New York in the early 60s, and we'll hear from an absolutely fantastic recording called The Genius of Ray Charles. All of that for you here on Jazz in the Night, our weekly Vinyl Vault update. I'm Bob McQuiz, who's been on vacation for the last few nights, but glad to be back with you sharing the jazz. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, the Wynton Marsalis, performing the world premiere of a work honoring 15 KU icons Thursday, November 6th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are at lead.ku.edu. Here's the great composer Tad Dameron the LP called The Magic Touch, and one of his lesser-known tunes called Just Plain Talkin', here for you on KPR.
Thank you.